11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
Oh, I got really carried away singing that then. I could have sung that for about an hour. Luckily, we're here to talk about Championship football instead in the company of Pete Farris. You well, Pete?
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Looking forward to a good weekend, which kicks off with Derby versus Nottingham Forest. I can sense you're all already knowing what bet Pete's going to go for. 12:15 kickoff, 8-11 Derby County. The draw is 13-5 and Nottingham Forest are priced up at 4-1. The form, they're kind of like at polar opposites here, Pete, aren't they? Derby have won the last four and drawn one in all competitions. Nottingham Forest have lost the last four and drawn one in the last five in all competitions. It's worse than that for Forest, though, of course. They've only won two games in the last 15 matches, which isn't clever. Derby second on goal difference from Bournemouth. Nottingham Forest, remarkably, still in 13th position with 31 points. Just shows how many points they did accumulate earlier on in the season. Should we get out of the way now? The stat?
No, we'll do it. We'll do that toward the end of this.
I'll be interested to know. I found another stat out as well, which I'll be interested to know if it's included in your pitch. But tell us about the game first of all.
The game, first of all, is a Derby County win, really, for me. As much as they, of course, got themselves, a great win away at Ipswich, you know, as much as they won against Leeds, won against Birmingham City, you know, the three-game form is superb. The five-game, you know, maybe a little bit more is not, but it's not dreadful either. You look at Forest and, two wins in 15 and just generally a side who are nowhere close, in fact, to being brilliant. You look at Derby at home as well at the iPro. They've won 2-0 against Wolves, 2-0 against Brighton, 2-0 against Leeds. They would have, in fact, won minus a goal on all of those occasions. So that's, in fact, my first port of call here. Derby victory, yes, more than happy with that. Derby minus a goal at 9-5, yes, more than happy with that. And the headline offer as well, with the kind of form that Chris Martin is in currently, to be able to get Derby to win, Chris Martin anytime, 2-1 as a headline offer is just always going to be absolutely delicious. Of course, scored the winner against Ipswich, scored against Birmingham. I know quite a few of his goals come away from home rather than at home, but that headline offer is a very tasty piece of pie. Now, this stat, Lee.
Yes. Yeah. The price never changed, by the way, does it? Have you noticed that?
21-10 for the red card. Now, we play red cards every time these two teams meet, don't we? Every single time. But rather than go through the red cards, I've actually gone for the 10-game average. So the last 10 head-to-heads between these two sides, I've counted up every single booking point you would have got.
Nice.
Now, it totals 635 booking points in 10 matches.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at 63.5 average per game, aren't you?
Yeah.
Now, your total booking points, over 45 is 4-9. Over 55 is 10-11, and over 65 is 8-5. Now, as 1.5 booking points isn't an available market, it's 10 for a yellow, of course, 25 for a red, and the most you can get for a player, i.e. a double booking, is 35. But as the price is there, at 8-5 for over 65, and the average is incredibly close to that, that's a good-looking bet. The best bet of those, of course, is the over 55 at 10-11, isn't it? I absolutely adore that. There just seems to be, whether it's Fielding's second-minute red card a couple of years ago, whether it was the likes of Blackstock and stuff, the red cards just come in these games. But that average, 10-game average, averages 63.5 booking points. That is huge. Over 55 is 10-11. It's my favourite bet of this game, Lee. And as much as you and I go about this all the time, about the red cards and the bookings, there's only one occasion very recently in which that hasn't landed. Mm. Other than that, we've been landing them. So for me, over 55 at 10-11 is absolutely superb. What's your stat on this?
Well, I think I'm right in saying it's six red cards in eight in the last eight.
Yeah.
Did you notice that the majority come at Nottingham Forest? In the last four of these derbies at Forest Ground, there have been a red card.
Well, Fielding and Blackstock and... Oh, God, I looked earlier on. Yeah, there's been red cards for Forest players, yeah.
It's weird. No, not just for Forest players, just at Forest. It seems like... I mean, derbies get... Derby 5-0, no red card. Derby 1-1 against Forest in 2013, no red card. Tudguy got sent off for a second yellow in the 90th minute in the Derby County 1-0 win back in 2012. But the Forest games, 2011, Fielding got sent off in that game at Forest. In 2012, Blackstock got sent off in the Forest, the one at Forest. Keogh got sent off in the game at Forest in 2013. And then the 1-1 draw, Buxton got sent off late on in that one. It just seems that the games at Nottingham Forest seem to produce more red cards than the one at Derby County. I'm not saying it won't happen in this game. I thought it was intriguing that the last four at Forest all seem to contain a red.
I'll be honest with you, Lee, I'd actually missed that, but that's a great.
I don't know if it's a negative or not. I mean,
No. It's a fair point.
Instinctively, I always think whenever you put this up last time and it landed, and instinctively I thought that's too short for a red card. It landed, and I thought, yeah, I'm wrong. So that's fine. You know, it feels like. With Stephen McLaren in charge and what they're trying to do, it feels like he would want them to be ultra disciplined. Not that it won't land, of course, because it's still feisty. And you only need a dodgy tackle for a yellow and then a daft one, or a dodgy referee decision for the second yellow. It doesn't take much to get a red in a game like this, but
no,
it's intriguing.
I'm
fully admitting that. I'll say that now, and I'll look at it at 12:15. I'll go, and then there'll be a red card after half an hour. And I'll be like, yeah, that's landed again.
Well, the way to look at it, mate, might be that. You know, as much as we discussed the red cards, the booking points of over 55 or 10 to 11.
Totally agree.
Kind of my favourite way in.
Yeah, that's a really nice way. That's a really nice way in.
And you look at the last two games at Derby, we've had 40 booking points, so okay, it wouldn't have landed. But then before that, 75.
Mm-hmm.
So you could look at it like that. But I'm not going to argue with the stat because you're right.
Well, but the flip side of that is that Forest will, it might be all that Forest have got. If Stuart Pearce is passionate for this game and he gets them up, it might be that there are a few tasty tackles early on. You've got all those markets, if you ever look at the card markets, and they put them up nice and early for this match, which is good. 34 different card markets on the website, from total bookings points in the match, total match cards, the time of the first card. I mean, first to 15th minute, if someone wants to put in a reducer, 11 to 5, that's not the worst price in the world. First card, last card, there's a match bet between the two of them. Individual team cards in time brackets. I mean, there's plenty to be getting on with there, isn't there, Pete?
Yeah, there's loads. There is loads. I mean, you could even, if you want, like I say, the over 45 at 4-9, you could even have a little nibble on that if you just want a nice little short to get your eye in on the Saturday.
Yeah. There's also goals times cards as well, so you can pick how many goals there'll be and how many cards. For instance, under 2.5 goals, but over 6 cards in the match is 5-1. Really looking forward to it, though. Great game. I mean, there's no Premier League match on Saturday lunchtime, and it doesn't really matter because this one looks an absolute cracker.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at Millwall versus Ipswich. Ipswich third in the Championship table, a point behind the top two. Fresh off two straight defeats, both at home. They lost to Derby County, and then they all lost it by the exact same scoreline to Southampton. No shame in either of those results, to be fair, Pete. I'd be much more worried if I was a Millwall fan than an Ipswich fan, of course.
Unquestionably.
What a result in midweek. Unbelievable.
Yeah, destroyed by Bradford City. But the other thing to say as well is that after that, the phraseology that Ian Holloway used, my players are dysfunctional, was the phrase that he used, wasn't it?
I'm tired of him, Pete. Thoroughly tired of him.
You see, the thing is, I really like Ian Holloway. But do you know what? It feels like he's at that point. You know, there's an argument, I'm sure you've talked about on the pun about Steve Bruce, where, he does brilliantly for a couple of years, mm-hmm. and then he just gets to a point where he just can't take the club further on. Ian Holloway gets to those points as well, and normally it's the point where he walks away, isn't it?
Yes.
Not normally, but it's happened on occasion where he's walked away because he just can't take the club any further. And it might be here that as much as he wants to fight, it just seems to me his body language, the way he's talking, seems to be a man who knows he can't push this club on. You look at Millwall, four of the last five lost, but they conceded four against Bradford, six against Norwich. They've won, two games since the beginning of October. They are, in the league I'm talking here, they are really, really, really struggling. And the teams they've beaten, they beat Blackpool, okay. They beat Cardiff at a time when Cardiff was struggling. Brighton at a time that Brighton was struggling. These wins have come for them against weak sides. And as much as Ipswich, were beaten by Derby County, they were beaten narrowly by second in the league. And they were beaten, 1-0 in quite a, what was looked like, from what I saw of it, a dull affair against Southampton. But still, it was a game in which they're playing a Premier League side who are currently pushing for Champions League. So, right now, I'm looking down the barrel of Ipswich at 23-20. And I'm sitting here thinking, I can't think of a good reason to go against them other than they played more recently than Millwall. But I don't really care about that.
No.
Millwall are unbackable at the moment. Even the manager, to a certain extent, has said it in the way that he thinks his players are currently playing. 23-20 Ipswich is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it does look very nice indeed. Let's move on to Cardiff's game. They are away at Norwich City. Norwich missing Johnny Howson through suspension. They're in seventh, a point off the playoff zone. Cardiff are 11th, a full 7 points off that that top six. Won the last two, one in the FA Cup against Colchester, and they beat Fulham as well, 1-0 last Saturday. Norwich will upset the apple cart, didn't they, Pete? It was a bet that couldn't be beat. A little bit like the one that we've just talked about. Bournemouth couldn't lose that game, could they? But somehow Norwich managed it. And that was the game that Howson got sent off in as well. They were down to 10 men for 35 minutes, sorry. 25 minutes. I was right the first time. But, yeah, great result for them. Will that give them a bit of a kick-start into this game?
No. First of all, the result against Bournemouth was magnificent, and they deserve absolutely all the credit in the world. They were even, don't forget, losing. They were losing in that game, weren't they, against Bournemouth. So to win that in the way they did was phenomenal. But a couple of things. First of all, that seemed to be a big boost from the new manager, which people may argue could carry over to this game, in which case, fair enough. And, their general form, 3 wins from 5, they're ticking over. They've only had one loss. That was away against Reading at the Medeski. But I still look at them, and I don't think I can put money on them at 8-13. That's my issue here, that Cardiff, this is a side who in Cardiff, don't forget, have lost just 5 times away from home this season. Just 5 times. They lost at Wolves, the first away game, 2 back-to-back what looked like poor losses, Blackpool and Millwall, then at Bolton, who were excellent in the Macron, and Bournemouth, who were excellent at home. So if you're offering me 5-1 on Cardiff, the price is too big. The price is far, far, far too big, in my opinion, Lee. So I've gone to the handicap markets here. Plus a goal Cardiff is 13-10, because there's been a hell of a lot of draws in that period as well. 2 draws in the last 5 away games. And before that, Blackpool-Millwall, draw, 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 lost, draw, 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 draw. It's just been, well, actually, I've gone a bit too far. Those last 3 were all last season. But the point is, they are actually not easy to beat on the road. They're not easy to beat on the road. Yes, they're not picking up wins, but the whole plus a goal thing, I think, is very nice indeed. The other way to play this, in my opinion, is that both teams to score landed in the last 4 Norwich games, landed in 4 of the last 5 home games as well. But the both teams to score, Lee, has got to be played too. That's 17-20. So therefore, I'm obviously going to like the draw and both teams to score. Draw and both teams to score, match result, and both teams to score, draw at 15-4. I think Cardiff have got a great chance in this game. The good thing about the plus a goal is if they steal a win. But as well as Alex did, with Norwich against Bournemouth, as much as they came from behind, they won with 10 men, important loss in Johnny Howson as well. 8-13 is not attractive. My advice would be try and find a pro Cardiff bet.
Yeah. Let's look at Wolves' game in the Championship. They're playing Blackpool. Wolves are 8th, just a point off the top 6. Blackpool 3 points off Wigan and a full 8 points off safety at Leeds, the club who are next to the relegation zone. Added to the woes for Holloway was that 1-0 win from his former club, wasn't it, of course? That was their only win for a while. They beat Birmingham 1-0 at home, but those two wins are the only wins in about 15 matches, I believe. In fact, I think I'm right in saying the 3 wins they've had in the Championship at home have all been by 1-0, and they don't do particularly well on the road. Wolves knocked out of the FA Cup in midweek, Pete, on penalties from Fulham, scored 3 goals. They would have hoped to have won that game. The home form has been sketchy, hasn't it? The one thing you can rely on at the minute is that Dave Edwards will get on the score sheet, though.
Yeah, he's looked very, very good indeed. And if you're backing Wolves, there's a few things you've got to bear in mind. First of all, they went to penalties against Fulham, so they played a lot of minutes of football, but also they played a lot of minutes of football in very cold, tiring conditions. If you saw the pitch, images of the pitch when they were playing, it was really snowy and difficult. So that will take more out of them. But what may have put it back up them, and certainly would put the atmosphere back up for Wolves, is obviously the very sad loss of Sir Jack Haywood. who died on the 13th and obviously owned the club for, I think it was 17 years. You know, loved at the club. There'll be a day for him, quite rightly, you know, a club legend, and always sad when someone like that dies. You know, sad when anyone dies, really, but obviously for someone as important to Wolves as that, it'll be a sad, and it'll be not sobering because it'll be a celebration of his life at 91, I think he was, when he passed. You look at Wolves' last five games, all by a goal when they have won, I should say. You know, the last five wins rather than the last five games. The last five games at home have garnered just, what, one win from five. They've hosted Bournemouth, though, and to be fair, a poor loss against... who was it they lost against that was poor? Come on, Pete, you'll get there. Forest, there we go. Yeah, but again, Blackpool, as much as Lee Clark is making them difficult to beat on the road, just two losses in five, I just think everything, I think the day, I think the form of someone like Edwards, for example, as well, and as tired as they may be, I think they may well just blast their way through this game, Wolves, myself. Mm. If I was Kenny Jackett, you almost don't need a team talk. The atmosphere at Molineux will be so pumped. It will be so... you know, after that initially sobering moment before the game, imagine that crowd. It's going to be huge. And for me, Wolves at 4-7 as they are now are fantastic. But we've gone through the by a goal, haven't we? And the by a goal, obviously, Wolves minus one, Blackpool plus one is 12-5. With Blackpool drawing a lot of games as well, you'd imagine they don't get battered here. But Wolves by a goal is 12-5. And Dave Edwards, who you mentioned, Lee scored last time out 9-5 anytime.
Yeah, it's not good bad. He's got three in two. He might have had his little purple patch, though, to be fair, but. Yeah, interesting one. Let's have a look at Leeds United versus Birmingham. Birmingham in 12th now on 34 points. Leeds United, no such luck. 2 points clear of the relegation zone and no sign of an upturn, really. I mean, they got the draw at Bolton. They drew at Forest. They've had a lot of away games, to be fair to them. They lost at Sunderland in the Cup in a fairly good display. They lost at Derby 2-0 and lost at home to Wigan 2-0. They'll be pleased to get back home, Pete, here, won't they, against this Birmingham side. But they don't need to be looking at Birmingham's away form because it's solid.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how actually pleased they will be to get back to Elland Road. Obviously, this Chilino thing is rumbling on. There's a bit of... I mean, I follow quite a few Leeds fans on Twitter, and I follow a few people who sort of, you know, work for fanzines and things, and a lot of the stuff they're retweeting is just fury and bile and sort of uncertainty. And Birmingham are flying. The decision to employ Gary Rowett looks like an absolute masterstroke. They've won four of the last five. You look at league games, and it's four of the last five, including six against Reading, three past Forest, three past Wigan. And Leeds still have that problem, the problem we've discussed for weeks now. And in fact, I was almost going to nap last weekend and didn't, like some kind of moron. And my nap obviously didn't land. And in the end, Leeds went on to lose the second half. It happened again at the weekend. They are just a side who at the moment just can't get going. They had a good Johnson penalty for Bolton was what sealed that second half for Bolton. Now, they did well to get that draw. And Neil Redfern as well has abandoned the diamond he was playing in the centre of the park because it was quite unpopular, but it initially seemed to be working, but now it's invited more pressure. At the back, they're missing quite a few players, some injuries. Liam Cooper will now be the full-time captain after Stephen Warnock's gone off to Derby County. And so, I mean, I can't find a positive way to approach Leeds here, Leah. I just don't see it with the way that Birmingham are playing right now. Both teams to score at 3-4 looks very, very good indeed. You look at Birmingham's wins, you know, three of the four wins they've had recently have come with both teams to score. They did, of course, also concede four against Derby. So they may well be gettable. I quite like the yes and but over 2.5 at 13-10 for both teams to score and overs goals. But second half betting. Let me just take you again through Leeds' most recent games, Lee. Bear in mind, it's 11-5 for Birmingham to win the second half. So Fulham did it. Forest didn't. Wigan did it. Derby did it. Bolton did it. So that's four of the last five straight off the bat for an 11-5. I could go further back against Ipswich. They did it. Didn't Derby, of course, didn't do it. They lost 2-0. But, you know, Blackburn, they did it. Blackpool, they did it. It just keeps going. It keeps going and going and going. And 11-5 for Birmingham to win the second half is huge when you consider the most recent stats on Leeds' second halves.
Mm, yeah, nice bet. I wonder if he'll go for it this week on his nap. Watford-Charlton is the final championship match we'll look at before we get to the naps. Watford are 7-10. The draw's 5-2 and Charlton are 9-2. Charlton are in the middle of a sticky patch, I think it's fair to say. Not many wins at all. In fact, the last win they had was away at Reading on the 8th of November. Since then, they've drawn four games and lost the rest. Admittedly, they lost to Blackburn in the Cup. Probably won't be too bothered about that. But, yeah, they just don't seem to be doing too well here, Charlton. You can understand the price, can't you, Pete? Even though Watford's form hasn't been brilliant, they've only won two of the last five at home.
Yeah, Charlton have obviously made a big move, though, haven't they, recently, and brought Guy Luzon in, Luzon, the former Standard Liège manager who's gone in there, managed it in Israel for quite some time as well. I saw quite a lot of Standard Liège football games under Guy Luzon and wasn't hugely impressed with their organisation. They tended to win or lose games. I mean, in fact, I looked at some stats earlier on. Under Guy Luzon, Standard Liège played 72 games. They won 35, lost 21 and drew 16. I think at the moment that might help Charlton. They do look like they're playing within themselves. They're a good side. They've got some great players as well. But they just don't seem to be able to find that form early season that, yes, didn't see them win loads, but saw them borderline impossible to beat. Now, on the other side of this, of course, you've got Watford. Now, they lost to Chelsea. I don't care about that. They lost away at Huddersfield, who are really growing under Chris Powell now. They lost at home to Wolves. But other than that, they put four past Cardiff, one at the Medeski, beat Wigan, destroyed Fulham. And at the moment, when you look at the teams, Fulham, you know, at the time Wigan, Reading, these teams who were struggling at the time that Watford met them, they managed to kill them off. Wolves, yeah, weren't going through the best form, but okay. But they, you know, beat Cardiff, and they seem to be ruthless. They seem to be flat-track bullies, and they're beating some very, very poor teams. And that, for me, is the main reason why Charlton are utterly opposable here. They didn't score at Blackburn. I don't care the fact they didn't score against Ipswich, because Ipswich is a very, very hard place to go. And I don't think the Guy Luzon this quickly is going to be able to change things. They're a bit of an all-or-nothing side as well, and I think that plays into Watford's hands. Watford have got some really good flair players, some dangerous players. And those guys, when you put a player on, you know, when you go at them, they will more often than not pick you off. The other goal scorer market I like is Ighalo as well. Now, I wouldn't normally be throwing Ighalo into this, but when you look at his form, he scored away at Huddersfield despite the loss. He scored away at Cardiff in that 4-2 victory. Guardiola, by the way, is also worth a bit of a look. But ultimately, when you're offering me Ighalo, and you're already on Ighalo at 23-20 any time with two back-to-back games and back-to-back goals, I'll play that. Guy Luzon might well save Charlton. He might well keep them in a very comfy position for the rest of the season, but I think it's going to take longer than just this week. Watford at 7-10 is another great bet.
Very good. It is nap time, as Pete mentioned. He didn't win on his nap. Neither did Sam, and neither did I. So it was a bad week. After landing in the nap treble the week before, we went to the other end of the spectrum, unfortunately. What are you looking at this week, Pete?
You know the thing where I said I was a moron for not playing Leeds to lose the second half?
Yeah.
I don't know that I can still play it. Only kidding. 11-5 is huge. That record now, it's too good. It is too good for an 11-5. You know, we're looking at it landing in 6-8. We're looking at Birmingham scoring rafts of goals. An 11-5 for Birmingham to win the second half. It's too good. It's too tasty, and it's coming home with me.
What price is it? 9-5.
11-5.
Oh, sorry, 11-5. Goodness.
But with the stats being as they are, that's huge. My favourite outright would be Ipswich to win their game.
Fine. I'm going to go for a game that Pete talked about, actually. The match between Ipswich and whoever they were playing. Who are Ipswich playing? I've completely forgotten. The game between Millwall and Ipswich. I share Pete's thoughts on Millwall and Holloway, and I think Ipswich will be mad keen to get back to winning ways. I was reading articles this week, Pete, about Daryl Murphy being only, you know, one of the highest scoring players in Europe, only behind a man who you watch week in, week out, Owen Doyle, for goals. Yet you can get a very juicy price of 11-8 for him to score at any time at Millwall, which I do like an awful lot. He scored 17 goals this season. Admittedly, 7 of the 17 have come away from home, so he's not as good an away scorer as a home scorer, but I like that a lot. 11-8, I thought it'd be even money, to be honest with you. So 11-8 for Daryl Murphy to score goal number 18 at any time in the game is my nap.
Lovely.
Thanks, Pete.
Crackingly, thank you very much, Paul.
Cheers, mate. Speak to you soon. Pete will be on In Play Radio, of course, over the next week or so. So make sure you tune in there for his thoughts on the footy. You can download this podcast at audioboom.com. It's also on iTunes. Just subscribe and they get delivered straight to your phone, your tablet or your PC. And, of course, you can go to williamhill.com/podcasts and listen there. Thanks for downloading or listening to this one. If you're having a bet on any of the Championship matches, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.